Picking up where we left off last Sunday in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet had had a vision of God. And he had a vision of God's holiness, and he saw how high and lifted up he was. And when he saw the holiness of God, he recognized his own insufficiencies. He recognized his own sinfulness, and that's where he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips." And then we read about how the Lord, one of the seraphims, took a coal off of the altar and laid it on his lips, and Isaiah was sanctified. He was made holy. The fire from heaven was laid on his life. It wasn't because of what Isaiah had done. It was a work of God. When we get a vision this morning of God in His holiness and get our eyes and we really see the beauty and purity of God, do you know that the world begins to lose its attraction? The more we see God and the closer we follow Him, the less appeal that the world has. Young people, the world does have a pull. And you're not strange to think that. It doesn't even despiritualize you. There is a pull of the world. But I will also tell you this morning that the closer you get to God, the easier it is to say no to the world. The closer you follow Jesus, the less appeal and the less attraction it has, because I found something better in the Lord. And we recognize the consequences of going after the things of the world. There's a lot of heartache out in the world. Yes, are there some momentary pleasures of the flesh out there? Yes, there is. And we do a disservice to tell you anything different than that. Yes, can you have a little bit of fleshly fun out there? The answer to that is yes. But I'll tell you, the next morning, or the next week, or the next year, you're going to be left with a hangover that you won't ever be able to get rid of. There's going to be some things and consequences of following after the world that when you begin to see Jesus and you begin to experience His peace, there is satisfaction in serving the Lord. Is that right? In serving the Lord, it's not about this straitjacket, well, I can't do this, and we don't have this in the home, we can't do that. Saints just can't have any fun. I invite you to really get to know Jesus, and you're going to find that serving the Lord is a good way. It's a blessed way, and it's better than what the world has to offer. So when we begin to see Jesus, and we begin to see God high and lifted up, we begin to recognize how far away we are. But when we call out to the Lord, and this was last Sunday afternoon, but the Lord will bring the fire down. On the day of Pentecost, He had told the disciples, He said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." In other words, you are not equipped to go out and face the world on your own strength. You are not equipped to go out and witness of me. Stay where you're at in a protected environment until you receive the Holy Spirit. Then you will be equipped to go out and face the world and be able to be a positive influence on those around about. Well, picking up there then, Isaiah chapter 6. Now, take note the order of this. I've seen signs and I even saw one it was in Guthrie. And I don't take too much exception to it, but I want us to understand, does God call the qualified or qualify the called? You know, you can talk on both sides of that. But here in Isaiah, God did not call the unqualified. Now that did not mean he was qualified in the sense that he had all the answers. So it kind of, you have to couch the question. But what happened here was Isaiah recognized when he see God that I am unclean. I am not equipped. I don't even have the equipment to answer a call from God. But when he acknowledged his need and the Lord perfected him, the Lord did a divine work in his life, then is when the Lord asked a question. And that's what, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to consider this morning. I heard a voice after he had been touched. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Do you know that Isaiah did not hear that call until he had been touched by a divine work of God? Don't be afraid this morning. Say, well, I can't work for God because I don't have all the answers and I don't have a lot of experience. That's not what qualified Isaiah. What qualified Isaiah is, mine eyes have seen the Lord. And the Lord did a divine work in my life. It wasn't through time. It wasn't through experience. It wasn't through age. It wasn't through that I've been through all these things, but it was because I've seen the Lord. And I had been touched with His Spirit. The fire of the Lord, the song said, the Spirit is burning in my heart. Is the Spirit burning in your heart this morning? If the Spirit of God is burning in your heart, there is a call that is still going out today. The Lord is saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Folks, there is a call. Why didn't God give the call before? Because they hadn't been touched by the Lord. But once you have been touched by God, there is a call. Why didn't the Lord just say, Isaiah, I have a job for you? That's not what happened. The Lord asked a question. He said, who will go? The Scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. Does that mean then that the Lord will say, okay, Aaron, you can go, but Ethan, you can't? No, all of us have a call this morning. All of us have been called, but we are only chosen when we have on our wedding garments. In that scriptural, in the book of Matthew, in the 22nd chapter, that's where he said, many are called, but few are chosen. He was talking about the man that didn't have on his wedding garment. And the wedding garments were at the door. He could have had one. The call to work for the Lord and to live a holy life is to all of us this morning. But it sounds like that there's a need when the Lord says, who will go? Who is willing to go for us? In other words, there's a need. I see a lot of people, and there's a lot of people with all of their activities in life, but is there anybody that will follow me? Is there anybody that will respond to the call and listen to the Spirit of God? So, whom shall I send? The Lord wants to send. And this morning I believe with all of my heart that the Lord wants to send some of you this morning. The Lord has a job for each and every one of us today. The Lord has a job for all of us. But the Lord's saying, whom will I send? And who will go? Are you willing to answer the call this morning to follow the Lord? Are you willing, when the call went to the disciples, to the fishermen, it said they dropped their nets. It's where we started, remember, a number of weeks back. And I ask you, when you leave here today, listen and see if you hear the call of the Spirit. Have you still been listening? The Lord is saying, there's work to be done. But whom will I send? Who will go? Who will answer the call? Who is willing? A call to follow Jesus. What is the nature of this call? Yes, there's a call to follow Jesus. There is a call to holiness this morning. Because the Scripture says that as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. If you are struggling this morning with things in your life that are not holy, you have been called to live a holy life. And the Lord's saying, who is there that's going to live a holy life? It's not enough to come to service. It's not enough to be raised in the saints. The Lord is saying individually, who is willing to live a holy life? Who is willing, like this song the young people sang, who is willing to follow Jesus and leave the world behind them, willing to suffer some shame from the world to be different? If you follow Jesus, you're going to be different. Who's willing to be different this morning? It's not just being different for different sake. It's being different to come into the image of Jesus Christ. If I can change this in my life and I can draw closer to the Lord, Lord, I am willing and I'm going to answer the call. But there are many that are wanting to incorporate the things of the world in with their spirituality. Folks, it doesn't work. The Lord is saying, whom will I send? Who will go? Who will answer the call to say, Lord, in everything I dedicate my life to You to live holy before You. Not because of my own works of righteousness, but because You have touched me with Your Spirit. So who will go? To leave the world, folks, is a high calling. It's a high calling. Are you willing to suffer reproach in this world? There is another call that is still going out from the Lord today, and it lies close to my heart. But in Matthew, in the 28th chapter, in the 19th verse, Jesus, one of the last commissions to His disciples, He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. There was a call to teach. There was a call teaching them, He said, to observe all things. Most of the ministries in the religious world today are not teaching all things. They're teaching some things or part of it. There is a call this morning to go and teach all things. As parents in our homes, are we willing to teach all things? Are we willing to stand? Parents, I want to encourage you, stand up and be parents this morning. Some say, well, I want to be friends to my children. Be friends to your children. But folks, sometimes parenting overtakes that. In other words, well, my friend wouldn't require that. Well, I'm a parent first and a friend second. In other words, as parents, sometimes we need to stand up and do the hard things. Sometimes it means our children won't like what we tell them. Sometimes our children might even resent a little bit that mom and dad said, no, you know what, you can't go. Well, I want to go. No, you can't go. It's not good for you. Well, you just don't understand. Parents, let's have some spiritual backbone with our families. I know our children, when they get out of the home, that their decisions are on their own, but when they're still in our charge and in our care, we need to stand up and be parents and be willing to say no to our teenagers in our home. Be willing to say, no, it's not good for you, we're not going to do that. When you're out on your own, you're going to have your choices, but this is where we're going to stand in this home. And say, well, but my son or my daughter's upset with me, so I'll give them their way. Who is willing to answer the call? Who is willing to say, Lord, we want to be holy in this home, and I can't change my children's hearts, but I can set a standard for them even if they don't like it. And we say, this is what we're going to do. And with all of that, we explain, we listen, we are a friend to them. But I don't know, I guess the Lord just felt inspired at this moment to encourage the parents to stand up and be parents. You're not one of the girls. You're not just one of the boys. We are to be parents, to guide our homes, to set a standard in our home, to give an example for our children and be willing to stand up and say, no, it's not good for you. We've had our discussion, we've cried together, we've talked together, we've prayed together, but at the end of the day, no, this isn't good for you. You can't do that. Lord, help us. But who is willing to go out into the world? We say, well, I can't go. Maybe I can't go to a different country. But who is willing to go across the street this morning? Who is willing to say, Lord, I am willing because I know there is a call to work for God. There are jobs that need to be done for all of us. There is something to do this morning. And all of those jobs are important. But I wonder, is there anyone? And the difficulty is this, and I've been there. Sometimes someone might preach a message about the call to go and be a minister for the Lord. A call to be a missionary. And people say very quickly, well, bet everybody can't do that, to minimize the call. I want to say to you young men this morning, there is a call to go out and take the gospel. There is a need for ministers, young men. There is a need, and older men, brethren, there is a need to answer the call to teach and to preach the Word of God. But the Lord is saying, where do I go? What do I do? And who will go? And it's not something that we just say, well, I'll go and go in our own zeal, in our own enthusiasm, but it's going under the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's going when the Lord places His hand on your life and you feel the burn and the Lord gives you an opportunity to share the Word of God. Who is willing to go do that? Young women and sisters, there is a great need this morning for some mothers in Israel. There is a great need for young people to set an example. There's a need for Sunday school teachers. There's a need for special singers. There's a need for people, young women, to set an example of godliness that the world can look on and say, these people are different. What is it? And they begin to investigate, and it's something that goes beyond the outward appearance, that they can begin to see the fire and the zeal of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's a great need for that. There is a need for young men and young women to be spiritually qualified to work for God. I do take exception when people say the young people and children are the church of tomorrow. I know what people mean when they say that as well. You young people and children, if you're saved, you are an integral part of the church today. You are needful. There are times when I go out in the mission field, and a lot of times I am by myself. Where's the burden? Are there those that can give of themselves? Are there those that can go? And there are times that there is nothing that will send a message. And when my wife was with me, because she doesn't even have to say anything, her support and her presence gives a message to people on the mission field and here at home as well that nothing else can do. They can look at her and say, oh, that's what you believe. That's what I believe. Young women, are you living in a way that when it comes your time to get married, that people can look on your home and look at your husband and say, oh, that's what you believe? Are we setting an example? It doesn't start once you get married. Now is the time to answer the call, to live spiritually, to follow the Lord and respond when the Lord says, who's going to go? Some young people can be a reproach to the gospel work. People come and look at shoddy living. They come in and said, who will listen? Someone comes and pulls your earplugs out and listens to the kind of music you're listening to. Who will answer the call of the Lord and sanctify their music this morning? Who's willing to sanctify their dress? Who's willing to sanctify their spirit and their attitude? That the things that I do, Lord, I've answered a higher call than what the world is. Oh, there's blessings here. Young people and children, there is a blessing in answering the call and devoting your life to this thing. It's more than coming to church on Sunday. There is a call that every day, Lord, I'm consecrated and dedicated to follow You. Every day. And then we can just come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and kind of support one another, encourage one another to go out and do the real work of God. Amen? This is just where we need to come and get plugged in for a little bit. My phone isn't normally plugged in, and it's had to get plugged in a whole lot more. Do you know why? Because the battery's not good. But you get a phone that's working properly, more often than not, you don't have it plugged in. You're using it. That's what the Lord wants us to be living our life in, following the Lord. We feel so good. I made it to church today. Well, thank God you made it to church. But what about Monday and Tuesday? Have you answered the call then? Have you been worth serving the Lord? Have you been setting an example? Have you been witnessing to people? Have you been showing the love of the Lord? Have you, by your good deeds, been winning people to Christ? At least making them think about God because of what you did? That's the call this morning. It's for all of us. Who's willing to go? There is a need. There is a need in the gospel work for laborers. There is a great need this morning. There are places in Malawi alone. I think I mentioned to you there are, I'm going to get it wrong, 80 to 100 congregations. You know, there is a real lack of understanding. There is a need for someone to go take the gospel to share the things that maybe you've just known so much of. But folks, if we get filled up and we keep eating and eating and eating, do you know what happens to us? There's another one from Brother James. We get fat. We get fat! And we get sluggish! When we come and we get filled up with the things of God, we need to go and exercise and use that energy. What are we doing with the gospel that we have? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach it, share it, live it. But if we just come and we just come to Sun and we eat, and we get bloated till we can't even get up out of our seats, we need to get into the world and use this gospel. We can talk about doing good for people, but it's not enough to have it here. Let's go live it. Let's let the gospel work in our life, answering the call of God. The fields are white. The scripture said the fields are white and ready to harvest. There are needs in the gospel work. There are needs. God wants to send forth more laborers in the vineyard. In Luke chapter 10 verse 2, He said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Whom shall I send? Who will go? And if you think, oh, well, I can't do that, you don't know what God can do. Sister Dorothy Kaiser was in her 60s or 70s when God called her to go to Africa. And do you know that we are working with people that are some fruits of her labor in the 60s and 70s? Because some will say, well, I'm too young. You're not too young to work for God. Some say, I'm too old. You're not too old to work for God. God has a work for each and every one of us. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers in the harvest. Why are the laborers so few this morning? Have you ever considered why are the laborers so few? Is it because they're not needed? Or is it because maybe sometimes we aren't as consecrated to say, Lord, I'm willing, whatever you want me to do. Who will go for us? Who will I send? Who's ready and waiting? And who has been sanctified by the Spirit? Do you know that not all of us can go across the sea? I remember people almost being put on a guilt trip before a mess sometimes. It's almost like if you're not on the mission field, you're not doing what you should do. That's not right. But I want to tell you something. God has a job for all of us to do. And He's saying, who will go for me? Who will go and be a godly mother and a godly father? Who will, and I want to say to the mothers especially this morning, I know especially with young children, there can be a struggle because it's like I want to do more for God and I want to do for the Lord, but it seems like I'm being tied down with my young children. That can be a real struggle sometimes. There is no greater ministry, and this is not a cop-out. God is the one that designed this. I didn't. God is the one that designed this. That a mother's place is there to raise her children in the fear of God. There is no greater fill than to be that godly mother, loving and caring for the children. It doesn't mean, well, I can't work for God because I've got to take care of my children. Your children are the work of God. Invest in it as the work of God. You see, it's different than if I say, well, I'd like to work for God, but I've got to take care of these things. That's the work of God. There is no greater call. And I want to say to you sisters, there is no greater call for the Lord than to be a godly, holy support to your children and to your husband. There is no, you can empower you young ladies when you, if you get married, if the Lord sees so fit, and you get married, there is no greater work for God than you can be there to love and support and set an example and be there for your husband. You can empower your husband to do greater things for God. But you can also drag your husband down. If you aren't everything God wants you to be, and your heart isn't in the things of God, you can be a spiritual drag, and it can hinder what God wants to do with you as a family. So that's why it's important, married or unmarried, that we realize there's a place God has for us to fill. And I want to answer that call. And sometimes I don't even know what the Lord's going to tell me. But when the Lord says, who will go for me, I want to be a volunteer. And you know, you learn sometimes if someone comes in and says, oh, we have a job to do, who will volunteer? What's y'all's first question? What is it? Because people don't like to just say, yeah, I'll volunteer, and then you find out it wasn't real pleasant duty. First, we kind of like to know what it is, and then we'll make our decision. The Lord didn't say, He said, who will go? Who will volunteer and just say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do because I've been called and I'm going to answer that call. There's a need for consecrated supporters. And I know this is one that's difficult for preachers to preach on just because the fear is the people are going to think we're asking for money. But I want to, with the help of the Lord, I want to share something this morning. It's working for the Lord, you don't get rich when you're really answering the call. And there are struggles that have been with gospel workers, and I know the Lord uses that. But sometimes it's needless struggles when the Lord is saying, who will go? Who can I send to their job? And they see their job and their ability to make money as their field of labor for God, that the fruit of the field, Lord, I'm going to give it back to maybe someone that can go. It's just as important. Last night I was, and I'll just be real specific, I was printing the paper and I was printing, and the Lord put someone on my mind, and it's someone that sends in a little bit every quarter to help with the paper. It doesn't near cover it, but it's a sacrifice. It's something they're giving. I typed an email and I said, I just want you to know that while maybe you're not going, what you are sending is enabling the gospel to go out across the world. Do you know that that is just as needful? Maybe the Lord has called me to stay at home and work my job, but I want to recognize this is my field. This is my call. The Lord entrusted something with me that maybe the Lord didn't call me to go here or do that, but He called me here, so I want to use my resources in however I can that the gospel could go out. And one is not more important than the other. It takes all of us working together collectively that the Word of God and the gospel could go out. It takes your example. It takes your consecration. It takes your sacrifice. It takes your desire and your zeal for the Word of God to be able to be spread right in your location. And then if the Lord calls you to go across the street, or He calls you to go across the sea, there are people this morning that are still hungry for the gospel. There are still people, we get called, we get emails all the time. People are wanting to hear the gospel. At least they will have the option of accepting or rejecting it. You know, here's just a little side note to what happened with Isaiah. God, in essence, told Isaiah, the people aren't going to listen to you. Their hearts are going to be hard, but I want you to go and take my message to them anyway. And we think, well, why take the message if they're not going to change? You know, that feels like you can, and I've been there, you can invest a lot and it feels like the labor's in vain. It's, Lord, we spent so much money and time and energy and left the comforts and you go work somewhere and minister somewhere and it seemed like nothing came out of it. That's exactly what He told Isaiah, but He still said, who will go for me? It was God's mercy to get the truth to the people Isaiah was going to go to. It was God's mercy. And God knew they weren't going to accept it, but God wanted them to have the opportunity to accept it or reject it. So when you feel like, well, why work for the Lord? Why? Because people are going to reject it anyway. You may be the very one in someone's life the Lord is saying, I know they're going to reject it, but I want to be sure they have another opportunity. So are you willing then to be rejected? It's not you. They're rejecting the gospel. Who will answer the call this morning?
First Chronicles, the 29th verse, when the temple, you know what? I think we're going to stop there for now. There was a call that went out. It said, who will go? We'll address the answer next time. But I would this morning that as we leave here in this week, that we will know the Lord is asking a question. Who will go for me? Are you willing to be a godly father? Are you willing to set an example of what it means to be a father that loves their wife and children and puts God first? Or will you be a father that delegates that responsibility to the mother to be the spiritual head? Will you be that mother that will recognize that you have a mission field right around your feet if you have little children? And as they grow older, I know things can change. Young people, God has a work. I want to be, and I don't want to embarrass Ethan. I'm not trying to live. But I took note of something. Ethan went to Mexico with Brother James and Sister Tricia a couple months ago. And it was a blessing. In there. He's a young man. He's not a preacher. He's not a teacher. He's just a young person. But he got a call a couple weeks ago. See, he didn't ask to go to Mexico. He got a call. And they said, would you go? Would you come with us? You know why? Because it's not all about what goes on from behind the pulpit. We need people that love the Lord, that can be a friend to the young people, go out and kick the ball around with them, but still let them see that you can love the Lord and serve the Lord and still just be a normal person. And love God and set an example. Being on the mission field is not, well, I'd like to go, just a time to play, a time to have a new experience. There's a call. Do you know the Lord has that call for all of us? It's different for all of us. God, we're all have different calls. But there's a need. There's a need for people to support the work of God. There are some areas that are really suffering. And it calls into question, Lord, if this is yours, or do you want some things to start shutting down? There's needs in the work of God. But it's more than just, okay, I have a little extra, so I'm going to put a little extra. It takes just as much consecration for regular, consistent support of the work of God as it does regular, consistent Sunday school teaching. Regular, consistent, Lord, I can sing for you, so I'm going to sing regularly. And consistent. See, it's about dedication. It's about consecration. So as we leave in this week, I would that we listen. If you have been touched by the Spirit, God has a plan for all of us. And whatever it is, He wants us to wholeheartedly, with consecration, dedicate ourselves and answer that call.